Hello, everybody. Welcome back to another episode. I'm back with Vijay. So Vijay is an entrepreneur, and thank you very much, Vijay, for being here. It's a pleasure to have you. Thank you very much. Thank you.
Thanks, Lakshit, for having me today. It's absolutely a pleasure to be doing this interview with you. Yeah.
My pleasure. My pleasure. So Vijay, it would be great if you could
Yes.
introduce yourself, what you do, everything about you.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, great. So I'm Vijay. I'm 28 years old. I'm based in Jaipur, Rajasthan, and I'm the founder for Ome Foods. I'm a first-time entrepreneur trying to make India snack healthy, and at the same time, I think trying to make the world healthy. Ome Foods is basically a brand that does healthy vegan roasted snacks.
Okay.
Roasting is a process of cooking food in salt, and a very unpopular, very centric to Rajasthan as a state process, wherein salt is taken to almost 300 degrees Celsius or 400 degrees Celsius, and food is dry cooked in them. It's a very interesting process. It goes back generations to this desert state, because back then, when LPG, CNG, or other organized fuels were not available, people used to literally cook food underneath the earth because of the temperature, sheer temperature that the state had to offer. And one would have known these from Rajasthani delicacies like bati and churma, that those are very typical traditional Rajasthani snacks or oblique meals. And I think that's exactly where we found our calling when we thought 3 years back that we want to do healthy snacks. Because the process is so simple, so interesting, and so healthily driven. So I think we do roasted snacks. At the same time, I think the way we do roasted snacks is also about elevating the whole experience of doing tasty snacks, because oftentimes when we look in the healthy snacking space, people often think, though it's healthy, it's not going to be tasty, right? And for us, being a Rajasthani, and for Indians in general, I think we love spices, we love masala, we love zesty food. And I think that's how we ended up building a wide catalog of products across. Ranging across 22 different varieties of products, wherein one set of products are trail mixes, things with seeds, berries, sun-dried fruits, oats, name any seed, name any berry, and we will have it on our catalog. And second set of our products are Indian savory snacks, things like potato flakes, things like chana, things like soybean, and basically anything and everything that an Indian would end up snacking on. The only difference is that before we started doing it in the roasted snacking manner, these would otherwise have been available mostly in the fried versions, fried namkeen, as to sort of really put it out that way. And we use the same masala, we use the same ingredients, but we adopted roasting as a process. We made seasonings which were health conscious. We consulted and got a lot of feedback from certified nutritionists and dietitians to help derive the right formula, which answers to the health aspect of what a snack has to be. And I think that's how we ended up developing a snack. At a brand level, we are a D2C brand servicing over 27,000 pin codes across India and also in the United Kingdom. And a typical consumer of ours is an entire family, I would like to put it that way. So we have snacks which a kid in the family would love to snack. We also have snacks which people in 20s, 30s, 40s, anybody who's in a weight loss program, or anybody who's looking for just casual munching, but which is guilt-free, which doesn't add extra calories on their weight, is looking for. And at the same time, I think our most loyal, most dear set of consumers are people 50 years and above, because for them, our products come out as a respite. And we have consumers who come in and say that at a 60-year age bracket, they come in and say that your snacks really take me back to my childhood days when I could eat as free as I wanted to, because our products don't carry any oil, they don't have trans fat, they don't have any cholesterol, salt levels are to the minimum level. Even if you're cooking our food in salt, we do enough amount of processing on the food, natural processing on the food, to make sure that excess salt is taken away from them, so that it becomes palatable, it becomes easier for consumers to eat. So I think, yeah, that's about me. Besides this, I think I'm a commerce graduate, went to Sri Ram College of Commerce, Delhi University, worked 5 years in the industry. I worked with organizations like the Uber, NASSCOM, 10,000 startups, mostly in the sales and marketing roles. And I think the whole idea of doing healthy snacking really goes back to how I started my professional journey, because I was traveling all the time. And these were mostly day trips that I would be on. And it would only be about like starting the day at 4 o'clock in the morning, coming back at 11 in the night, and so on and so forth, traveling thousands of kilometers and hundreds of kilometers every day, and usually taking like an hour flight or 2 hour flights, right? And during that process, for a young professional who is just starting his career, it was really exciting, honestly, to be sitting at airport lounges and hogging on food on company payrolls, right? And after a while, when it became like a regular habit, I realized that I am done eating airport food. I'm done eating outlet food. Even if I was trying to go towards the health section, which I was not possibly, but even when I was going to these places and consuming snacks and food and meals right at the airports or cafes, I realized that I can't eat it every day if it has to be the way it is. And the second phase of this was that I would ask somebody at home to possibly pre-cook a meal for me, which I could just put it in my laptop bag and just carry along. And I think that's how it went. And eventually I realized that, okay, I had the luxury to be working from my hometown, but how many of us really have that? And I think that's where the whole quest of doing portable, healthy snacks really kicked in. And not just healthy, but also tasty snacks, which without any thinking, without any pressure on my head that, oh, I want to reduce calories, I would just pick up a snack, right? Just to give an idea, we do potato flakes. Even when you talk about healthy, automatically people think, oh, potato, it can't be healthy, right? And we also say it can't be healthy, but at least the process we've cooked it in is healthy. Just to give an idea about the difference the process of roasting really brings in, is that our potato chips or bleak flakes carry 80% less fat content against the fried potato chips otherwise available in the market. So automatically, it's a very steep transition for a consumer from consuming high calorie, high fat products to something which is more health consciously driven, but keeping the taste profile intact. And I think that's how the world is. Everybody wants tasty, masaledar Indian snacks. So I think that's how I think the brand started. And I think that's about me. Anything else, I'm happy to speak up.
Yeah, sure, for sure. Thank you very much for giving a very brief one. I think there are very few wonderful people who come on a podcast and give it in a brief way, which give me a whole insight about it. So thank you very, very much for that. And my next question, Vijay, to you would be, how was that idea of initial phases when you're an entrepreneur, when you try to think about stuff and try to create and try to start new things? How were the initial days? How were your mind working? How were you trying to get the money in, and how was the investment things, and how all things were working?
Yeah, right. So I think entrepreneurship, I think, is a very interesting journey. I think everybody has their own two cents to it. Everybody has their own personal journey to it. Mine was a similar case. I'm a foodie at heart. I love experimenting with food, not just healthy food, I would say, but even simple food, right? I love snacking. I love food. And I think this was more of a personal journey for me because, as I said, I was working in a job profile that required me to travel. And I think my first tickle point was to make or oblique find portable snacking, which I could just keep in my bag. I don't even, for instance, have to rinse my hand, because even if I'm in a cab, I can't sort of really rinse my hand. So something which I could just eat it directly from the package, right? And still not feel bloated. So I think that was the calling for us. Now, in terms of how the process really goes about, when I say I'm a foodie, I'm still not somebody who cooks, right? I like to eat. I like to market products. From a professional space, I'm somebody who's been into marketing and sales always. So I think for us, the first thing was to sort of really learn the process. Because when we said that roasting is the answer for us, even when we did not want to run our production, or I possibly did not want to sit on a furnace and roast products, I still had to learn the process. So I think it took me almost 5 to 6 months just to break down the process, visited a lot of organized, unorganized facilities, people who could let us enter in, which is again an interesting space, people who could let us enter in just to see how the process goes, what are the nitty-gritties of it, just to sort of understand how sensitive a typical food profile could be to the temperature, to the salt that we're using, etc., right? Just to give an idea, if I'm cooking something like potatoes, it can't be in the pot for more than 20 seconds, right? But if I'm cooking something like soybean, it still has to be cooked for almost 2 minutes, and it still has to be cooked twice or thrice, and it still has to be done in a more delicate manner, right? So these were things that we had to really break down and really understand before we could even think about market feasibility, whether the product is going to work or not, people are going to like it or not. We just wanted to learn the process. And I think that's what we did. Second important part was to sort of establish a team that would really go long-term and people who can really come in and share the vision of making a global snacking brand. Because I think when I was entering into this space and one of my other interviews, and very typically I always come out and say, somebody says, what's your vision, right? I always say my vision is to make Ome what Pepsi is today for the cold drink industry or for the soft beverage industry, right? So we really want to make a brand which is global, which is something that consumers would love to binge across, being agnostic to where they come from, what age bracket they're from. And I think it was very important in the initial days to find the right set of people. When we look at our team, it's very interesting. Technically, I'm still the youngest one in the team, right? We have people who are in their 70s, we have people who are in their 60s, we have people who are in their 40s, and people who are still in their 20s, right? And still in my 20s and still trying to think big. And I think that's what was very important, because if you're running a food production business, what is really important is, besides the way you pack, besides the way you sell, or besides the way you market, what's really important is that how do you make sure that you're making consistent, quality-driven food product, but at scale? Because when we look at our business, I think we scaled from doing, I think, around 2,000 units a month to crossing over 80,000 units in just 3 months of time. So it was almost like 3 months we did not sleep, and we ended up scaling our business almost 20x. And people who are privy to our journey, they say that, hey guys, what did you guys really do? What were you eating? What were you doing? And I think that's where I think the journey really became interesting, because it was the set of people, it was the team which came in with the right set of experiences, right set of motivation to run the business, not just for money, but out of the sheer passion for making food and making the world consume our food, right? So second thing was definitely team. Third thing was to sort of really understand, are people going to consume this product? The way I think I went about thinking it, and our team really went about thinking about it, was all about that whether we are going to eat this food, right? We are very conscious. At the end of the day, anything we do, right from how the products are being cooked or how the food is being handled, everything boils down to, will we eat this, right? Would I enjoy consuming it? Would my friends, would my family, would my colleagues are going to enjoy consuming it? Because that's where I think the first instance of market research really comes in. Now, when we were developing these products, I think we were sort of really clear in terms of what catalog of products we want to do. So our two broad categories were trail mixes and Indian snacks. Even when we say that, these categories are still very vast. One can really curate hundreds of trail mixes. One can really cook hundreds of Indian snacks. That's what we see in the country at large, right? So it was also very important for us to really break down, both from taste point of view and as well as nutrition point of view, what we are doing, and have a very balanced catalog, which people can come in and say that, okay, my entire snack basket gets completed when I'm at Ome, right? So that was really important. When we started building food, I think we started cooking it at my home till the time when we could not really afford to set up our production. And we said that, okay, we want to roast instead of cooking like kilos of batches at the first stance. We started cooking like small batches of 500 grams, 1,000 grams on my home kitchen. In fact, I think it's very interesting for me, and it's a very dear story to me, that one of the days when during our initial sampling time, and we're just trying to roast something which has to be done in an organized, controlled manner, and we were just out of the hunger of really curating something and just to learn the process, I ended up burning a cylinder in my house, and the entire kitchen was almost on the verge of fire, that we had to really run, bring mud pots, throw it on them and really come out, right? So it was dangerous. And again, learning that don't rush into things. It can sometimes really become dangerous. I think that was my first learning, that don't rush beyond the time. Being entrepreneurs and being in the startup journey and something which is more digital, we always try to hustle. Hustle is the way to go. We understand that. But I think at the same time, accepting what the situation is also very important, and taking baby steps sometimes is really important, right? So that was, I think, another learning. Now, I think when I come back to the whole sampling process, it was very interesting, because as I said, we always wanted to become a family snacking brand. Our goal is very simple, that anything that's being consumed in the family at a snacking level can be answered with our products. So we did not just want to touch base with consumers who were looking for food that was higher nutrition. Let's say somebody is going to a gym, or somebody is just trying to build muscles or become like the next Hancho. We don't just want to cater to that audience, or we also just don't want to cater to audience which is only looking to reduce weight, right? Yes, when it comes to health, people think about those nuances, but at the same time, I think casual snacking is such a big part of our daily meals. When we look at calories consumed, more calories are being driven from the munchies, from the snacks that we consume versus the standard meals that we eat. So it was very important to balance out the catalog. So the way we really initially started sampling was that while we were sitting in Jaipur, we had created a sample group of almost 5,200 people. And people who would every week get a batch from us would bring in extensive feedback in terms of taste, in terms of packaging, in terms of whether the portion is enough, whether it's too spicy, too salty, too crunchy, too hard to chew, et cetera, et cetera. So we would have had a almost 25 question long survey report that we would always send it out to these 50 and 100 people. We were lucky to find these 100 people because, and these were just friends, family, colleagues, et cetera, right? We could not afford to hold an organized market research. So we were lucky to have those right set of people who we could really make sure that are they thinking in a formal way and thinking to really help us go forward. But that's what we used to do, that we used to send out samples. And not just in Jaipur or Rajasthan or this part of the country, but to all locations. Because just to give an idea, people down south usually have less sodium content or less salt content on their food. But when we come to northern states, because of extreme weather conditions of heat as well as cold, people generally have a slightly higher portion of salt in their diet. So we also wanted to make sure that we are balancing this act properly. So we had created a pool of set. I think we went around 2 months sampling the products, breaking down them very quickly and learning from what people had to say. And eventually, I think we had a catalog when we started. We had a catalog of 17 products. The packaging had to be done in a very simple, scalable manner, right? A lot of times as entrepreneurs and as business people, we always think to try to get the best thing out. But my learning of working with startup ecosystem in general and working with likes of Uber is like that there's a very simple statement or the school of thought that says that it's okay to launch or it's okay to have a 90% perfect product versus having a 100% perfect product, right? It's really important because to close that gap of 10 months and a lot of money to reach that stage, it is okay to start at 90% and then scale to 100% because it's important, right? It's important to go to market, see what people are saying, because anyway, I think any startup would agree to this, that what you decide on day one or what you think is the right way on day one, 10 days later, it falls flat. And I think we also had that similar journey that every day things break. Every day, your thoughts, your plans get shattered. And I think one has to be really strong to challenge that all the time, right? And I think that's how we were, that it just took us 6 months of time to really make our go-to-market. January 2018 is when we really launched our platform. And again, I think when we launched our platform, as I said, that we wanted to run it as an MVP start in the starting days, we did not want to, and we always knew that we wanted to set up a D2C channel. We wanted to cater to audiences primarily in the digital space because that's scalable. And at the same time, I think that's how consumers are thinking. Nobody wants to step out of house to order grocery, right? Or to pick their grocery, except something which is otherwise not available in time. So everybody wants to order online, and that's the kind of audience that we were anyway trying to cater. So I think we went online, but again, website building or setting up an e-commerce store is a very lengthy, very expensive, very time-consuming process. So the way we really launched ourselves was that we had a catalog as a PDF hosted on Google Drive. And that's how we used to really market the product. We set up our Instagram accounts. We set up our Facebook accounts. We had a SMS list ready. We had an email list ready. And we would blast people out with the brand details, with the content, etc. And we would send them our PDFs literally on WhatsApp and Facebook DMs and Instagram DMs and ask them that, hey, if you're looking to order, just DM us. Then they would DM us. We would send them payment gateway links or a simple payment wallet transaction would do. And that's how I think we would then go to another invoicing tool, invoice their products, make sure that it's packed, shipped, and send out details. Everything done in a manual process, right? Because when we are setting up businesses, it's not about fancy, it's not about the most appealing marketplaces or interfaces, right? But it's about bringing something which is more functional, more operational and more quick for people. And I think we ran our business for almost 3 months like that until we decided and we were confident that now that we are ready to launch our website, because talking to consumers on that level also gave us a lot of leeway into consumer feedback, because we had a sample set of 50 people who were, or 100 people who were looking at our products and tasting it every week. But once somebody really starts paying for a product is when you can really derive the most genuine of feedbacks, right? And I think that's how we did. We spoke to each and every person who ordered our products, making sure that whatever they received, whether they received in the right manner, taking their feedbacks, not just from the snack point of view, but also from the packaging point of view, is it really helpful? Is it in alignment to what we thought is the right use case? And at the same time, whether it's reaching them in time, were they happy with transit times? Was the handling process clear? Was the secondary packaging interesting enough that they would end up making a tweet or making an Instagram story out of it, right? That sheer excitement of community sales is what we were really looking out of these people. And I think that has sort of come out as an ingrained most important element in our business today, even now after we've scaled to catering thousands of orders every day, becoming one of the most selling brands on Amazon in the category we are today, and doing thousands of orders every month. We are still very close to our consumers. We still talk to them every time. Anybody who has ordered with us would always receive a call back after the order is delivered. It's not a typical call center job, but it's the people who run the business and it's the people who are the most strategic part of the team would end up making calls. It is mandatory for our entire team to carve out 3 to 4 hours of their weekly work time and make sure that they are talking to consumers, make sure that, and this includes me also, right? I would, every Friday, I have this practice for me that second half of Friday, anyway, nobody thinks to work, nobody's planning anything new. So we always end up calling up our consumers, people who have ordered with us, making sure that they were happy with the products, drive their feedback. So I think customer review and customer feedback is the most important thing. And even if after a point you scale up, it is important to have that touch point always available, because it then really keeps you grounded and keeps you to reality. Otherwise, teams and entrepreneurs in general fly in their own clouds, right? We forget what's important. So I think these were a typical certain way we learned and we built the brand to start off with. Yeah.
Okay. Great. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
So this you know, there is an interesting. You live in a world where 100 of people doing 100 of researchers, 100 of different stuff. People say that snack can't be healthy, you know. That if you ask your father, yeah. If you ask your mother, if you ask your grandparents, if you tell them that this snack is healthy, they won't agree because they know because snack can't be healthy. That's what they say.
Yeah.
So how do you think how do you defend that point that our snack is healthy and it's an healthy one. Yeah.
Yeah, sure. So I think, yes, I agree to what you say. In fact, I always also thought that it's a marketing gimmick at the end of the day. That's how at least I think that's the wider consensus, that any packaged food, I wouldn't really zero it down to just snacks, but I would say any packaged food, at least India is one of those markets where there are people in the family who spend a lot of time cooking. And even today, even with all the marketplaces and all restaurants available and the access to outside cooked food, people still are very close to cooking food by themselves. They still don't want to order outside. Right? There is a section of, there's an age bracket that really thinks that. And I think I agree that that's how people think. But I think when we say that, okay, it can't really be healthy, anything that's packaged has to be done in an artificial way. I think my answer to this is that I think at the end of the day, it's the process that goes. It's the people who do it, right? When we look at our catalog, our catalog is actually one of the most important answers to this. Because when I look at our catalog, as a couple of minutes back, I gave an example of potato flakes, right? I myself said that, okay, potatoes is not healthy. But a sheer comparison of presenting in the scientifically proven way that our potato flakes or chips are 80% less fatty against the fried snacks is a very clear justification to that. Similarly, I think oftentimes our consumers also come and say that, how do I know that you're cooking healthy, right? And one would open up our social media communications or anybody who's on the email list. More than we promote discounts, more than we promote offers and sales, etc., the most important element of our communication today is only talking about the process that we use, wherein we do we have sort of made it super transparent. Every week we show people that, hey, this is our facility, this is how we roast. See, there is salt. When we are saying that it's salt, it is truly salt. It is not oil. When we say that we are making our own spices, then we let people enjoy that process and join us on that journey of how we cook food. So I think it is very important for any brand, and including ours, to make sure that whatever we are claiming, we are delivering on that. And at the same time, I think we have consumers. Just for example, we have a consumer from Pathankot, Punjab, and this fellow would have weighed more than 100 kilos just before the pandemic. And I think being homestuck had nothing to do. He's a jeweler, real estate guy. And he just decided that, okay, let me just concentrate my time and energies on reducing some weight. And I think a major chunk of the world really went towards more health-driven processes, right? And so this fellow started his healthy health process, health journey. And he stays on camera. I've done an interview with him because I take his orders on WhatsApp myself. He doesn't go to our website to order, but he orders directly to me because that's how regular he is to us. And he says that for 6 months, all he did was made sure that he was eating healthy. When he says that he was eating healthy, he says that I did not starve even for a day, right? Because typically the moment you start thinking, okay, let's lose weight, people start thinking, okay, I'll have to starve. I'll have to control calories, etc. He says that I only had food. My lunch, dinner, and breakfast were all homemade. And anytime I had that quick hunger pang, because we are humans at 5-4 o'clock in the evening or late in the night, we feel hungry. Our hands just go to whatever is otherwise available. You wouldn't pick an apple or a banana, right, at the night, but you would still pick something which has a slight sweetness to it or slight spices to it. So he says that whenever he had those hunger pangs, he only consumed a snack. So he says that his meals were only either lunch, breakfast, dinner, home cooked, or anything else that was eating was from Ome catalog, and his orders speak for it, right? This fellow would order almost 20-30 portion packs every month, and I think it would almost be like a 6 kg, 7 kg consignment going to him every month. And I think that's when I said that, okay, if somebody is consuming that much, I need to, as a business owner and a brand manager, to sort of really understand what's going behind this person, right? And we also joined him in his journey. We recommended him that, hey, you should be, instead of this one, why don't you use this product, add this part, add this piece to your calories, etc., and add these snacks to this, make your portion sizes. And so we recommended, and we were consulting with the fellow throughout his journey. He says that he did not really go by any diet plan, but simple exercises and clean diet is what really took him along. And he says that he has reduced 22 kilos in just 6 months. And he says that Ome is a companion in the journey for me. And I think as a business founder, I think nothing makes me more proud and sort of really justify the cause we go with. And at the same time, I think we have a consumer who's 65 years old, consumer chana jor, which we call as beaten chana, and he says that your snack really gives me that kick, because being a diabetic, being a blood pressure patient, my doctor, my family is always looking at what I'm eating, always looking at my plate. And I think we would agree, right? Our grandparents would have always a watchdog in the family, somebody overlooking what they're eating, right? Because at an age of 65-70, it is very important to make sure that you're not consuming wrong things, right? But at the same time, you still get that hunger strike, I would say, or you still get that whole thing tickling on your taste buds that you want to eat something. So this fellow from Delhi, 67 years old, says that your products take me back to my childhood days, and still able to eat that masaledar, spicy, zesty snack. And it gives me that kick that I always look for, at least at this age. And he says, like, he goes to the tea and says that, okay, I read your labels, I assess each and every particle of your product, because it is very important. It's life-threatening for him if we deliver something which is not on the claims, right? So very consciously done products, and consumers speak for them. So I think for us as a brand, it's all about consumers. There's a very common saying that consumer is king. It is cliche, but it is really true, right? Just to another example for this, when we started our brand, we only had 150 gram size portable snack jars which one could easily keep in their bags to carry along. And I think 7-8 months in the journey, when we became an online store, you know, launched in an organized way, our consumers came back and said that, okay, your products are addictive. We want to continue eating them, but we can't keep ordering these jars again and again because it's price heavy to order smaller portion sizes, and we don't want like a stack of jars sitting on my table, and it is inadequate. The quantity is inadequate for us because it's not just me who's consuming, but my entire family is also consuming, right? And so our consumers made us launch those half kg packs, refill packs. And I think we thank our consumers to really, otherwise we were never thinking in that direction. It was the consumers who made us launch those 400 gram, 500 gram pack sizes. And it's something which is still today only available in the digital space. We still have not opened it up in the offline markets because we cook food fresh. We run a zero inventory business. Anybody who walks in into our factory someday and the numbers we talk of, they say you really can't be matching these numbers, right? Because the way process really works is that whatever somebody has ordered today, we take 2 days, then we prepare it, and then dispatch the order out. Obviously, it dates back to week. Maximum inventory we would keep is 3 to 4 days. And products carry still a 4 month and a 6 month shelf life, right? And that is also a true justification of the fact that it does not carry any artificial substances or additives which could elongate the shelf life. So it's super natural, super clean. I wouldn't say organic, but yeah, super clean and super healthy and super natural the way it is. Yeah.
Okay. Great. So thank you. Thank you very much, yeah. Vijay. One more last question I would like to ask you before ending this up is, yeah, what has been your, sure, major learnings in these journeys? What did you learn as a, you know, being in your 20s? What life lessons do you learn from the journey of Omay Foods and seeing all kind of different things in your life? What do you learn from them? Yeah.
Absolutely. So I think, for me, I think it has been a super interesting journey, full of learnings every day. I make mistakes all the time. I am not a seasoned entrepreneur. I am a first-time entrepreneur. And I think that's a very typical way, at least the industry really says that, are you the first-time entrepreneur or a seasoned one, right? So first-time entrepreneur, but I think for somebody in their 20s, I think one thing I've realized for myself and how the businesses really go is that we are virgins to the industry. We are virgins to the whole business ecosystem. And we are unorganized at certain stages as a business owner, right? And we don't have a lot of experience, but that really adds to the advantage because when you are starting up, no matter how many plans, how many projections, etc., or how many Excels you draw, at the end of the day, everything fails what you plan and you have to reinvent, right? So at this age, somebody who's starting up, it is very important that flexibility and that acceptance to failure is very important, right? And I think that as a founder, I have learned for myself that it is okay to fail. In fact, I think we really feel that if something is not really going wrong, something is not getting broken, we are not doing the right thing, right? If customers are not complaining, then we are not thinking, if we're not struggling, we're not growing. I think that's how I really look at it. Another learning for, I think, somebody in their 20s, I think one of the things that I am often asked, or when I sit across a group of friends who would have completed their masters in business management from top colleges across India and even Ivy Leagues for that matter, right? I did not go for masters. I did not go for my MBA versus I spend that time sitting in the industry, learning with global businesses likes of Uber, likes of NASCOM, etc., right? Really gaining that practical business experience, which really made me, ready to jump into entrepreneurship at an age of 26. Today I'm 28, but I started my business when I was 26. And I think that 4-year experience that I had from the industry really made me learn how to really start something. And people really fail and struggle just to set up an accounting system, right? This is something that bigger corporations, I'm not against MBAs, but this is something that systematic education at least can't really teach you, how to set up a tally for that matter, right? Or how to set up a customer feedback call, right? And these are things that while I was studying, while I was completing my graduation, I also spent a lot of time interning with a lot of new businesses, and something that I learned from there, right? It is as simple as that. How do you set up the space you're working from, and how do you stay frugal but stay effective, right? I think being frugal and being effective is very important. Yes, my swanky offices look really fancy, and those devices and those hefty pantries really look fancy, but I think at the end of the day, we are in here to run our business. We are in here to grow a business, and at the end of the day, it is for the consumers. We're doing it. We're not doing it for ourselves. Yes, we are doing it for ourselves, but from a daily effort that we're putting in, we're doing it for the consumer. So this is my learning, that whatever you do, you stay frugal, but at least make sure that you're delivering to the best possible experience you can to your consumers. I think so. That's my learning. And I think most importantly, I keep saying this, but it is very important to be fragile and at the same time flexible, right? But at the same time being consistent, right? One thing that at least I experienced, and now being in this space for almost 3 to 4 years now, I would say that, okay, I'm also slightly seasoned in the whole process, right? We oftentimes, people who just come in, or young fellows who say that, okay, I want to intern with a startup, right? People come in and in a month's time, they get bored, right? Because they feel that, okay, if you're going into a startup, it's going to be a super interesting day. Every day is going to be something new. I'll be playing board games on the weekends. I'll be drinking, possibly, et cetera, right? That's a typical way people think when they think of startups, right? But it's not that. It is business and it is boring. Yes, we think to do new things every day, but the journey is pretty boring and pretty isolated also, because it is only you and your team who are there, who understand the space you are in, and who would really be there to empathize with you. So it is also important to make sure that you have the right set of people. It's not about the number, but it's about the quantity, right? And I am a firm believer, and I have my beliefs about this have gone really strong, that I don't want somebody who is in the job for a 9-to-5 paycheck, right? We don't want those people. And I am a firm believer that we want to keep our team super, super small, because when you have smaller teams, people are more accountable, more responsible for things. And interestingly, somebody looks at our team today and it is only a team of 5 people on the white collar space, besides all the network and channel partners and agencies we work with. It's just 5 people on the team who really run the entire show on the strategic level. And oftentimes people go bamboozled that, hey, how come just 5 people are running a business which is clocking crores of revenue every year, selling thousands of lakhs of units every month? But I think it's only about people who share the right passion, who share the right vision, and who are ready to dive. It is very important to make sure that at least in your initial years, you have the right team that's going to stick with you for the longest possible time. I think so. Yeah, that's my learning and my 2 cents on this.
Okay. So thank you very much, Vijay, for joining in. It was a pleasure to have you, and a lot of things to learn. And I think I have taken away a lot of stuff from this time, and learned a lot. So thank you very much, Vijay. Thank you very much. It was my pleasure to have you.
Thank you so much, Sadhak. Great weekend evening spent here. Thank you so much.
My pleasure. Thank you very much.